Let the record reflect that the time is now 1:10 p.m. Wednesday, March 9th, 2022. Here with us today, we have Representative McKay, Representative Fields. Representative Kronk is going to be absent. We have Representative Hopkins, myself, Representative Putkadup, Representative Rauscher, Representative Gillum, Representative Schrage, and I'm sure Representative Hannon is planning to attend. I'd like to say thank you to our folks here working on behalf of the legislature, Emma and Kieran, for the job that they're doing. I remind folks to please silence your cell phones. And on today's agenda, we have House Joint Resolution 34 and House Bill 347. This is our first hearing on the joint resolution, and since I'm the sponsor of the resolution, I'll be passing the gavel over to Vice Chair Hopkins. So,
going.
Radio check, Mr.
Chair,
Chairman.
Please introduce yourself and your staff and begin with your presentation.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Representative Josiah Putkadup, representing House District 40, which is predominantly the Northwest Arctic Borough and the North Slope Borough, with a few other villages from the Doyon region. And this is my staff. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Good afternoon. Trevor Fulton, staff for Representative Josiah Putkadup.
So, with concurrence of the chair, I'll kind of just give a brief rundown of the joint resolution and what it does. Part of the reasons why I think it's important to opinionate support for the context of the resolution. So, House Joint Resolution 34 is a resolution that simply urges responsible development of MPRA, but it also comes at an important time. So most of you are aware. In January this year, the Department of Interior announced that instead of staying the course on the NPRA management plan finalized in 2020, it would revert to a more restrictive plan from 2013. And in effect, it would remove about 7 million acres of the reserve from oil and gas leasing, which is approximately 30% of the total lands of the reserve. I think what the issue and part of the reason that I have consternation with that is that the department made the decision without consulting or seeking feedback from those who are most affected by development in the MPRA, and that's ultimately the state of Alaska, but the North Slope Borough and the tribes within the borough, the native corporations, and the communities within MPRA. And I don't think that's the appropriate way to set policy, you know, from D.C. that's going to affect those impacted entities within the actual communities. So, and overall, it just has negative implications for the state. So, talking about some of those negative implications, there are a few figures that I'd like to elaborate on to the committee. According to the 2020 Record of Decision for the MPRA Integrated Activity Plan, the reserve holds the potential to generate over $4.7 billion in state, federal, and local government revenues. Create over 3,600 direct and 2,750 indirect jobs annually, increase throughput and extend the life of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline System, TAPS, strengthen national security, bolster the U.S. economy, and provide affordable energy to U.S. customers. Beyond those figures, MPRA management is of a little more interest to me, just in regards to the fact that it's in my neck of the woods, I think, as the mayor had put it, and he also underscored that the neck of the woods that we don't have woods, but it's in our backyard. And so just to remind the members of the committee that MPRA falls wholly within the jurisdiction of the North Slope Borough, and it's you know, if there's any a stake in making sure that development is done responsibly in the MPRA, it's going to be those you know, entities and municipalities within the confines of the borough. And I think we've done a fair job as folks that oversee some permitting aspects of development that happens within our jurisdiction. And I'm speaking in regards to my previous service as a North Slope Borough Assembly member, where we've got to dive into a lot of the permitting details of whatever project might be coming or happening on slope. And one of those things that we took into consideration anytime we kind of judged the merits of projects that happened within the MPRA was making sure we struck the balance between the economic benefits that development brought and also protecting our sensitive lands and cultural subsistence resources. And, you know, the economic benefits of development don't just mean dollar signs to me. I think I've spoken a lot with a number of you folks on and off the record about the positive impacts and the indirect impacts that it has generationally for folks that are living within these impacted communities that predominantly without the tool of resource development would potentially be below the poverty line. And so aside from the jobs and the wages, there's also another layer of it that I think we've talked about a little bit, and that's the ability for the local municipality to provide basic services, provide funding for our schools, hospitals, water sewer systems, that responsible development and the infrastructure that comes along with that helps produce. So overall, the resolution asks that we don't lean too far in the direction of either development or conservation. You know, if we're overly restricted of development, then we miss out on the opportunities to meet the needs of the rural communities on the North Slope and ultimately in other areas of the state. And if we don't properly protect critical areas, we could endanger valuable resources. And those resources are, you know, something that my constituents, my family, have relied upon as far as subsistence resources for thousands of years. And we want to make sure that they have that opportunity to continue to do that, but do it with the times as far as all the tools and equipment needed to do it safely. So I believe the 2020 MPRA mitigation plan did a good job at striking that balance that I spoke of. And it was mainly by working with those who know the area best. And regionally speaking, we have the borough, and then we have the tribal sector, which is Inupiaq Community of the Arctic Slope, and then the ANCSA corporations, which I view as kind of the three-legged stool of the microeconomic engine of at least my district in respect to the North Slope borough. And so I think that's important to take into consideration when we draft policy and pencil whip things that can affect, you know, our livelihood. And I would just clarify that the be it resolves of the resolution, they don't advocate necessarily for the 2020 plan or the 2013 plan. Just simply ask that the benefits of development are weighed against the potential impacts with the input of those entities that I listed. So I'd like to thank you for your time and indulgence. I won't necessarily thank you for the scheduling because I get to do that. But anyway, happy to answer any questions. And I also have Trevor Fulton, as we introduced, here for any technical questions. And then on the line, I believe we have representatives from the North Slope Borough, Arctic Slope Regional Corporation, and Inupiaq Community Arctic Slope, which, as I referenced earlier, is kind of the three-legged stool of the microeconomic engine of our area. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With that, Representative Brauscher has a question.
Yeah, thank you. Through the chair, Representative Buckduck, I appreciate your presentation. I did see generate over $4.75 billion in state, federal, and local government revenues. And I know it doesn't matter to me. I support the bill. But I was just wondering, is there a breakdown in state so we understand how much the state is actually going to take in on that?
I think generally speaking, the language that you're referencing is what we pulled out of the IAPEIS. I'm sure we can find a breakdown, but I didn't bring that in anticipation, unless Trevor can elaborate a little bit on that point.
For the record, again, Trevor Fulton, don't have those numbers right in front of me, but we did get the numbers that appear in the resolution itself right out of, as Representative Puckett said, the draft EIS, and I'm happy to provide those with you as a follow-up.
Thank you. Seeing no additional questions for the Representative Fields.
Thanks to the chair. I also support this, but I was just wondering if you could lend some additional insight for those of us who don't live on the North Slope about different the most proximate communities and how development within the NPRA has promise, maybe for communities that we don't talk about quite as much, New Exit, Akasuk, and so on. Just a little more local color that we might not be familiar with.
Thank you, Mr. Through the chair, Representative Fields. So I would say, as it stands right now, the closest community to any development is going to be New Exit. We've had experiences in the past as exploration has looked a little bit around the Umiat area that hunters from Unaktuvuk Pass have also come across industry operators, you know, helicopters and the such that are happening around the area. Depending on the season, we do a lot of summer hunting from Barrow and New Upsit, both eastward and westward, as far stretches as the Tuchkupuk Lake, which is kind of the next phase as willow starts to develop and infrastructure moves westward. That's kind of the area that you're going to start getting into. And so I would highlight that to both Representative Rauscher and your questions, one of the direct impacts positively, in my opinion, is the NPRA Grant Mitigation Fund. And so that's kind of the state's share of royalty that's federally obligated to be held into account. And then the affected communities both, I believe they rolled in Unaktuvuk, but it's NPRA, affected communities are Barrow, New Upsit, Akasuk, Wainwright, like I said, rolled in Unaktuvuk. But kind of from the North Slope Borough's point of view and the NPRA Grant Mitigation Working Group's point of view, it's, you know, we're all affected. We're all a part of the same jurisdiction. And so those communities are able to apply for grants. And we've seen, it's in the capital budget each year of the legislatures, but we've seen grants for tribal operations. We've seen grants for village operations. I think I saw one that was for playground equipment in Wainwright. I want to say there's been some water and sewer grant applications done. So there's a myriad of opportunities for villages. And I say villages, not necessarily cities, because not every community is represented by an organized city. Point Lay, for example. And you know, they're always doing all kinds of work in regards to their water sewer system because they've got a pretty interesting – they're right on the edge of an ice lens, so there's a lot of activity there that they need to maintain their infrastructure, and they use a lot of NPRA grant mitigation funds. So not sure if I spoke kind of to the degree of what you were expecting as far as the communities. I mean, I can go a long time in respect to the history of those communities, and I have family ties in every community except maybe Point Lay. So
No, thanks through the chair. That was exactly just a little additional detail that I wanted to learn, so thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions for the presenter? All right, seeing none at this time, we're going to go ahead and move into invited testimony. First up, we have Mayor Harry Brower of the North Slope Borough. Mayor, are you there online? Mayor, are you there? Maybe you're still on mute. Oh, he's not there. Okay.
Chair, this is DJ Fauske. I'm the Director of Government and External Affairs for the North Slope Borough, but I believe Mayor Harry Brower is also on the line. Maybe it's showing up different on your board.
We have the mayor on our board here. Can't hear him on our end. Let's take a brief at ease real fast.
And we can roll him to the bottom if
cool. Hear you. Are you able to provide your testimony? All right, seeing none, we're going to give Mayor Brower just a minute here to figure it out, and we're going to move on to the next invited testimony. Next up, we have Bridget Anderson of the Arctic Slope Regional Corporation. Ms. Anderson, can you please provide your testimony and put yourself on the record?
Good afternoon. This is Bridget Anderson. Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair Hopkins and members of the committee, and thank you for the invitation to testify on House Joint Resolution 34. My name is Bridget Anderson, and I serve as the Vice President of External Affairs for Arctic Slope Regional Corporation. May I go ahead with my testimony?
Yes, ma'am. Please do.
All right. So ASRC is one of the 12 land-owning Alaska Native corporations created pursuant to the passage of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, or ANCSA. And we represent the business interests of our over 13,000 Inupiat shareholders. I want to extend our gratitude for the legislature's willingness to highlight the strategic importance and the purpose of the MPRA to decision makers in Washington through HJ Res 34. For years, ASRC has advocated alongside other North Slope entities for the responsible development of natural resources in our region, including the MPRA. This was not always the case. In fact, our region was the only region to oppose the passage of ANCSA because our leaders did not believe the land allocation formulas. The formulas took our viewpoints into account. And despite our opposition to the law that created ASRC, our early leaders got to work to build our corporation. This year, ASRC will celebrate its 50th anniversary. In 5 decades of existence, we have found ways to work together with our in-region partners, the state of Alaska, industry, and the federal government to meet the mandates and directives in ANCSA. One of those directives is to provide benefits to our shareholders. To that end, ASRC uses the land that was conveyed through ANCSA for both the cultural and economic benefit of our shareholders. Some of our lands are within the boundaries of the MPRA. Despite the intent of ANCSA, we have been blocked from developing some of our lands by the legislative and executive branches in Washington, D.C. Over the years, ASRC has put significant resources toward engaging with the federal government to share our perspectives on responsible resource development in our region. Despite our sustained efforts and our willingness to work with the federal government, our perspectives are often drowned out by the entities who have no ties to our region nor have any understanding of the nuances of the ANCSA model of indigenous representation. The choice by members of Congress and the administration to ignore our voices is not only frustrating, it's insulting. ASRC is keenly aware that advances in responsible resource development on the North Slope and in the MPRA have benefited our region, our state, and our nation. During this time of global uncertainty, and always, we stand ready to be a part of a solution to support our nation's energy independence, national security interests, and support Alaskans and Americans. I want to thank you for elevating the voices of the North Slope region and our entities to share our support for HJ Res 34. Thank you. Please let me know if you have any questions.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for the presenter? Representative the field.
Thanks to the chair. I appreciate the testimony and maybe a question to come back to us later. I think people sometimes fail to appreciate the broad benefits of development, not just for ASRC and some of your subsidiary companies, but for our other regional corporations. You know, I think of certainly within Houston or within ASRC Houston. I believe Doyon, Aetna, I think BB&C are all involved, have workforce involved with development and pipeline maintenance. And I guess my question or suggestion is it would be nice to come back to the committee with sort of a map of how are other ANCs involved in both development and pipeline maintenance, because the jobs impact, the shareholder development impact is really broad and it goes beyond the North Slope. And I think it kind of gets at the statewide importance of this project. And I think it, you know, for, I represent Anchorage. When people in Anchorage wonder, gosh, what's the impact on this statewide? I think it can help to show, look at all these corporations with all these shareholders that are putting people to work throughout the state. And the positive impacts really flow beyond one regional corporation, acknowledging that the impacts for that regional corporation are very important. Thank you.
Any further questions? Seeing no, we're going to move on to the next testifier. We have Maury Lehman with the Inupiat Community of the Arctic Slope. Mr. Lehman, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Please state your name for the record and provide your testimony.
Yes. My name is Morris Lehman. I am the Executive Director of the Inupiat Community of the Arctic Slope. And I just want to thank you guys for giving us this time to give testimony. I'd like to also say that I agree and echo a little bit of what ASRC had said. And with that being said, you know, the Inupiat Community of the Arctic Slope is a regional tribe, and we are one of two regional tribes, and that we encompass 97,000 square miles of service area. You know, within our constitution, it says that we have dominion over those lands, and we believe, you know, we are recognized by the organization, and we are in strong support of this Joint Resolution 34. Our mission at ICAS is to support reasonable oil and gas development. And we firmly believe that within the NPRA that this can and will be done safely. Also, in these uncertain times and with our current political climate development in the NPRA, support economic development to sustain our future within our region, state, and you know, we have a responsibility to our indigenous people in the Arctic here to stand up for them and help them have they deserve a right to healthy living and development that'll get them there. You know, we always argue the fact that we have generational families in single dwelling homes, you know, between three, four, sometimes five generations of family living in two and three bedroom homes. And without development, we're not able to give them the quality of life they need to sustain themselves in the Arctic. And what ends up happening is that they end up leaving their homes in the Arctic to find a way to live elsewhere. And that's not by choice. It's because we haven't been able to get things moving and get development going so that we can support and help them along the way. So with that being said, I just want to thank Representative Putkatuk and the Resource Committee for hearing ICAST and taking the time to hear our cries for help to make responsible development happen here on the North Slope. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lehman. Are there any questions for the testifier? Seeing none, Mr. Lehman, thank you very much for calling in and providing your testimony on behalf of the Inupiat community for the Arctic Slope. I'm going to go back and try Mayor Harry Brower. Mayor Brower, are you available now?
Yes, can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir, loud and clear. Thank you for working through that. Please put your name on the record and your affiliation and provide your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Hopkins and the members of the committee, and a special hello in turn up to Chairman Parker for introducing legislation. For the record, my name is Harry Brower, Jr., Mayor of the North Slope Borough. North Slope Borough represents roughly 10,000 residents in eight communities. Our jurisdiction also includes the entire National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska. On behalf of the people of the North Slope, I want to thank you for hearing it, JR 34. Over the years, the borough, our staff and residents have spent countless hours attending public meetings and commenting on proposals about the NPRA. We do it because the NPRA isn't our backyard. It is our living room. It's our San Francisco home. Our border formed to ensure that we, the UPEP people of the North Slope, had input over the development of the on the North Slope. Through the border, we exercise zoning and other oversight that has, in partnership with the state, led to some of the strictest environmental regulations in our nation and one of the best examples of responsible development in the world. We make sure that the benefit of the North Slope development flowed not just to the state and federal government or corporations and to the shareholders, but also to the people of the North Slope. In just my lifetime, we have made amazing progress, reduced poverty, expanded services, and increased well-being of our people. But now the federal government wants to take us backwards. They have thrown out our input, and we are rewriting the plan that was just adopted in 2020, effectively sanctioning the land within the borough and the opportunities for all Alaskans. Meanwhile, they look to reduce sanctions on countries like Venezuela or Iran, so they can add more oil to the global market. Alaskans, and especially indigenous Alaskans, have always answered the call to service for our country. World War II, the Cold War, Korean, Vietnam, Iraq, or Afghanistan. In the public process, we have offered our voice. We have asked for the opportunity to responsibly develop our resources while protecting the subsistence resources that we depend on. And we've been ignored. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for showing us with this resolution you are actually listening to our people. I urge you to pass H.J.R. 34. Thank you. Atachimuktun. In my native language, that means that the United States won. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mayor. Any questions for the Mayor? Seeing none, thank you very much, Mayor Brower, for calling in for your service up on the North Slope and the support for H.J.R. 34. No questions for the testifiers, no questions that have popped up for the sponsor. At this point, we're going to go ahead and move into public testimony. Public testimony on HJR 34 is now open. Is there anybody in the room to testify? Seeing none, we're going to go ahead and move to offline or online on the calls. I believe we have some people online to testify. First up, we have, it looks like, Kara Moriarty. Kara, are you there?
Members of the committee, good afternoon. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am. Please go ahead and put yourself on the record, state your affiliation, and provide your testimony.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Kara Moriarty. I am the president and CEO of the Alaska Oil and Gas Association, commonly referred to as AOGA. Thank you to Chairman Pakatuk for introducing House Joint Resolution 34 and to the committee for the opportunity to express AOGA's unequivocal support for this resolution. AOGA represents the majority of companies that have state and federal interests, both onshore and offshore, and our industry is the single most important economic driver in our state, accounting for roughly 25% of all jobs and wages, and it is estimated the industry will provide local and state governments with over $3 billion this fiscal year. Federal lands continue to provide some of the most promising opportunities for oil and gas leasing and development in Alaska, which is particularly essential to North Slope communities. I experienced the many benefits derived from oil and gas firsthand as a former teacher in one of the villages in MPRA. our schools, housing, community infrastructure, wages and benefits were the best in all of rural Alaska. Despite clear federal policy by Congress in 1980 requiring the MPRA to be administered in a manner that responsibly increases the development of production in U.S. energy reserves, the first MPRA lease sale did not occur until 1998, and the first oil development in MPRA did not commence until 2015. At a time of global instability and rising energy costs, the benefits of energy independence could not be clearer. We join with the chairman in this resolution in urging the federal government to maximize the area available for development in MPRA so the benefits of development can continue to be realized by the state and federal government, but most importantly, for the benefit of the local community. So thank you again for the opportunity to testify in favor of House Joint Resolution 34.
Thank you very much, Ms. Moriarty. Are there any questions for her? Seeing none, thank you for providing your testimony. Next, we're going to head to my hometown. We have Mayor Bryce Ward of the Fairbanks North Star Borough. Mayor Ward, are you available? Mayor Ward, we can't hear you yet. Are you on mute on your end? Doesn't sound like it. Sounds like we're having a little bit of technical issues here. Hope we're going to take a brief at ease again. We have returned to public testimony, trying to get the technical difficulties worked out with the Fairbanks Borough Mayor. Mayor Ward, are you available? Can you hear us or us hear you? Nothing on our end still, Mayor. We appreciate the effort calling in. I guess at this time, without having the technical difficulties worked out, I'm going to go ahead and take a brief at ease again. All right, back on the record and public testimony at this time. Mayor Ward, I appreciate you calling in, and we're going to give it one more shot. Can you see if you can give us your testimony? We can hear you on our end. Go ahead, Mayor Ward. Doesn't sound like we've got anything on our end, Mayor Ward, so assuming you can hear us, we apologize. Thank you for calling in, Mayor. But at this time, we're going to go ahead and ask, I'm being directed that you just provide any public testimony in writing that you've got to us. We can make sure that it's included on the record going forward, which will be beneficial to keep the record clear and strong going forward on to the bill's next stop. So with that, we are going to go ahead and close public testimony. And thank you very much. We've closed public testimony. And are there any further questions for the presenter on HR 34? Seeing none, I'm going to go ahead and pass the gavel to Chair Pachatak back. Why don't you come on back up here and we can move on to further business and I can relieve myself of this burdensome pressure.
Burdensome.
It's a lot of weight, Chair, in the whole committee.
Yep.
Did you really use that? I didn't. All right, hard part of the day is done. We'll go over to setting the joint resolution aside. Thank you, Chair Hopkins, for obliging me and facilitating that discussion. And looking forward to some of the follow-up questions that were requested by committee members. We'll pick that bill back up on Friday. Going over to House Bill 347, our esteemed animal secrecy. We took public testimony on House Bill 347 on Monday, and we have yet to receive any amendments, and I don't think we will. So, Representative Rauscher, would you like to make any closing comments on House Bill 347?
Yeah, thank you, Chairman Pachatak. I appreciate the fact that the committee has heard the bill. It's an important bill. It's 7 years in the making that I know of. if not at least four or five. I appreciate the fact that everybody was willing to listen. They were able to understand the problem that we're facing, that there is consensus on both sides of the argument. This was a way to move forward. This was a way to get everybody to participate and be able to get what they need out of this. And this is a very good bill. I hope you all hope you all vote yes.
Thank you, Representative Rauscher. With that, what is the will of the committee?
Mr. Chair, I move HB 347, Work Order 32-LS1471-G from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
All right. Any objection from committee members? Seeing none, so it is written, so it is done. We'll take a brief at ease. Please don't leave until you sign the committee report. We'll pick back up the joint resolution that we just heard. There is an amendment deadline by my office, 1 p.m. tomorrow, if so inclined. And then we'll also have our first hearing on HB 299, which is microreactors by the governor. So with nothing else to come before the committee, we will now adjourn at 1:50 p.m.